I am excited to take this three-week journey as we turn the pages of Scripture to see what the Bible has to say about these amazing, powerful, compelling, and mysterious beings that we call angels. Humans have long since been fascinated by angels, and who are they, and what do they do? There are no doubt magazine covers and movies and books. You can't go through the supermarket without seeing some story, some miraculous, mysterious story about angels and how they intervened in the lives of mankind. But how much of this is true? How much of this is false? We see them everywhere, on the magazine, in the movies. And perhaps you've seen this most recent on TV, Touched by an Angel. How many of you guys watched the show Touched by an Angel? And so no doubt you have heard of these beings. Angel mania, as I refer to it, has certainly influenced America and the world. Get this, over the last 30 years, one out of every 10 pop songs in America has mentioned an angel. A recent Times Magazine survey found that 69% of Americans believe in angels. So, are they real or are they not real? 32% say that they have experienced an angel's presence in their life. And angel mania rages on. Listen to this. One collector of angelic paraphernalia has gathered over almost 12,000 angel artifacts, not including angel books, angel soaps, and angel napkins, because she said they make her feel good. And how about a woman who said that an angel had saved her life twice, and after saving her life twice, has since helped her to lose 150 pounds. That's my kind of angel. That's my kind of angel right there. One man claims that an angel told him to paint 2,000 artworks of angels, one for every year since Christ's birth. One lady spoke of her friendship with angels as she was sitting in her own angel chapel. And so angel mania rages on. Many stories about angels. But how do we determine what is true? How do we determine what is false? What is real, what is not real? Well, as always, we turn to the Bible as our source of authority to see what the Bible has to say about these incredible, amazing, spiritual beings called angels. Looking to answer such questions over the next 3 weeks, such as, what are angels? What do they do? How many angels are there? Are they visible or are they invisible? Are they male or are they female? Do they marry? Do they have baby angels? Do we become angels? Are angels among us even now? We're going to take a look at that question and many more, even today, as we begin part one of three in our study of angels. Now, let me give you a definition of angels, something to get started with. Angels are spiritual beings created by God to serve and to worship Him. Now, don't miss this. It's a very important statement here. Angels do exist. The Bible and the Savior affirm that they do exist. Angels exist. They were created by God, and they were created to serve and to worship God. Holy angels are faithful to God and carry out God's bidding, His will. The fallen angels, angels that rebelled and followed after with Satan, the fallen angels, they disobeyed, they fell from their holy position and now serve Satan, the chief of the fallen angels, and stand in active opposition to the work and the plan of God. Angels do not die, they do not marry, they do not have baby angels. They are powerful, they are intelligent beings who have personalities, they have names, and they have their own will. Now, let me share with you some of the terms that are used for angels. The primary word for these spiritual beings in the Bible as we have already discovered and used, is the word angel. Other terms, no doubt, referring to angels are seraphim, we see in Isaiah chapter 6, and the cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 10, archangel Michael, and perhaps Gabriel, mentioned in Jude verse 9, and also ministering spirits as a title, but maybe a more of a description as to what it is that they actually do, we find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. The Hebrew word for angel is malak, and the Greek word is angelos. Both of these words simply mean messengers. The holy angels are messengers of God. They serve and worship God and do His bidding. Let me give you another term that's used for angel. The holy angels are also spoken of as holy ones because they were created without sin and chose to remain faithful to God. They are set apart by God. They are servants and attendants to God and His holiness. I love what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel chapter 4, Daniel has a vision as he's lying in bed, and he says, I saw the vision in my head, and there was a watcher, speaking about an angel, and he says, a holy one. This is another term designated for angels. A holy one coming down from heaven. All right. How about another term that's used for angels? The word host. Host is a military term that carries the idea of angelic warfare. When we get into week 3, we're going to see how angels relate to other angels, the fallen angels, and how they do battle with the holy angels. Host describes God's angels as they serve in the army of God, engaged in spiritual warfare. It pictures angels as a multitude of heavenly beings who surround and serve God, advancing His purposes and His desires. Now, let me give you a verse in Psalm 103, verse 19 through 21. We see this phrase, host. Here in the psalm it says, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. In other words, God is completely sovereign. He is in complete control. He is in control of every detail and every aspect of world events, current events, and the events that are going on in your life right now. God has not lost control. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Another term used for angels that we find in the Bible, sons of God. Now, this can refer to other things, but also referring to the holy angels. In their holy state, unfallen angels are called sons of God in the sense that they were brought into existence by the creation of God. Interesting passage in Job chapter 1. Job had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. He had not seen and was not privileged to the understanding we have by reading this account. You see, Job was living his life on earth, but up in heaven, there were spiritual realities going on, and he was a topic of discussion. And the angels share, and the Bible shares with us some interesting facts. It says the angels, or the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. They would come, have accountability, they would come and present themselves to the Lord. But also, guess who else showed up? Not only the sons of God that came to present themselves, and Satan also, the chief of the fallen angels, he came, he has access, God allows him to come into His presence, and Satan came also among them, presenting himself before the Lord. So they are the sons of God, the holy ones. They are the heavenly host. They are angels. Now, there's another phrase called the angel of the Lord. That phrase is used in the Old Testament, and this is no ordinary angel, but a theophany. Theo meaning God, an Old Testament appearance of God, or better yet, a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. Prior to Christ, God the Son, coming and taking on our humanity, being born of a virgin, Prior to that, in the Old Testament, Christ appeared as the angel of the Lord. Now, this is not a created being. This is set apart from the other angels. It is Christ. The angel of the Lord is identified as God. He speaks as God. He exercises the prerogatives of God. And interestingly enough, after the birth of Christ, the incarnation, the angel of the Lord is not mentioned anymore. But we are not here to discuss the angel of the Lord. We want to talk about these holy ones, these created spiritual beings. So let me lay down a foundation, a framework, give you three important facts that'll help us to understand truth, what the Bible says about these amazing beings. First, number one, angels do exist. Now, I read a statistic just a little while ago. 69% of Americans believe in the existence of angels. Well, if they understood and read what the Bible says, what the Scripture and what the Savior say, it's 100%. Angels, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they do exist. There is a class of spiritual beings that are not human that the Bible refers to as angels. The Bible mentions and refers to angels 273 times. That's important enough for us to want to dig in and to study, to pay attention to who they are, what they do, how do they interact with humans, how do they relate to God, and what is our eternity, what does our future look like with these angelic beings? They are also mentioned in 34 out of 66 of the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible affirms their existence. Now, let me just say this as we think about angels existing and be embarking on a study of angels. I want you to listen. Any study that you're doing at home or a book or going to a sermon series like this, any study in angels should never be an end to itself. It shouldn't just be about angels. You see, it should point us to the one that created them. It should point us to the one that they serve, the one that angels worship. It should be about Christ, never just a study of angels in and of itself, for the angels testify and serve and worship to the one true and living God. Angels do exist. Let me show you a couple passages in the Bible where we see that being affirmed. Jesus affirmed the existence of angels in Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Jesus said, about his return, about the second coming, Jesus is coming again, and he says, but of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So from the lips of Jesus, he says, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. So he certainly understood the existence of these spiritual beings. Also in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43, speaking of how God will use his angels at the end of this age, he says, the Son of Man, Jesus, he will send out his angels. That demonstrates possession. He will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. And then the righteous, those who have trusted in Christ, have placed their faith in the Messiah, Jesus, they will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear, let him understand. So angels do exist. Second fact, the second truth, not only do angels exist, but angels were created by God. It says in Nehemiah 9:6, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the angels, the earth and everything on it, and the seas and everything that is in them. You have preserved them all. The host of heaven worships you. But specifically, we can say it's true that God created the angels, but Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the source of their creation. Notice what it says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, about Jesus, God the Son, as the creator of the angels. Angels were created by Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus Christ. And the Word, Jesus, was with God the Father. God the Son was with God the Father. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He is fully God. And He was in the beginning with God. It speaks of his eternal nature. Notice what it says here. All things were made through him, and without him, without Christ, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the creator of the angels. It would be reaffirmed by Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul would say, "For by him, by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers," even referring to angelical hierarchy, "all things were created through Christ, and they were created for Christ." And so, angels exist, number one. Number two, angels were created by God, by Christ. And thirdly, angels were created to serve and to worship God. That's why God chose to create them. It says in Revelation 5, 11 through 12, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne." The scene here is in heaven. They are gathered around the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And these angels are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Who are they worshiping? Who are these angels worshiping in heaven? They're worshiping Jesus Christ. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Yes, they are worshiping God the Son, the Lamb who was slain. Now, interesting, in Hebrews chapter 1, the author of the book of Hebrews is helping us to understand God's position, God the Son's position above the angels, and his privileged position above the angels, and how the angels are going to worship the Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "For to which of the angels did God," God the Father, "ever say, 'You are my Son, and today I have begotten you'?" He never said that to the angels. That is a privileged position for God the Son. He says, "Let all the angels worship him." Now, let me speak for a second about worship as it pertains to the angels. The holy angels, they serve and they worship God. But are we to worship angels? Is it right to worship angels, holy angels or fallen angels? Absolutely not. Remember the first commandment that says, "You shall have no other gods." There should be no other object of our worship but God. You remember perhaps when John, the apostle, he sees this mighty, magnificent being, and he sees this angel, and he falls down as if to worship this holy angel, and the holy angel says, "Don't do that. Stop." He says, "I'm simply a fellow servant. Along with you, I serve God, and I also worship God. Don't worship me," he says, "worship God." Angels are not to be worshiped, whether they are fallen or whether they are holy angels. We are to worship only God. And so angels were created to do just that, to serve and to worship God. Well, we've talked about angels and the fact that they exist, that they were created to worship and to serve God. But let me ask you a question. When in the world were angels created? Were they created after the fact? Were they created once Jesus came onto the earth? In fact, the Bible doesn't say specifically when the angels were created, but we can do a little bit of digging and find out that they were created, obviously in Genesis chapter 1, sometime before the earth was actually created. The book of Job indicates that they were present, the angels were present, when the earth was being formed and created. So, let's take a look at Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. God is speaking to Job. He's challenging Job. Job seems to need to understand that he cannot counsel God. He does not have the same amount of wisdom that God has. So God says to him, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding that exceeds mine. Who determined the earth's measurements, or to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars, the angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, the angels, the sons of God, shouted for joy? They were there when God was creating and laying out the foundations of the earth. And so we can see that the angels were there at the time that the earth was created. How about another one? I get asked this question periodically. How many angels are there? How many of you think there's more than three angels? More than a dozen? More than 1,000? We're going to go high. 1,000,000. All right. Well, let's see if we can take from a couple of passages of Scripture of what, how many angels there are. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, we read this. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, the Ancient of Days, the one who is seated in this courtroom type setting as described there. And it says that 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. All right, well, that begins to clue us in that there is a lot of angels. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, we read this. And then I looked, John said, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now, in the Greek, that's the word myriads. That was the highest number they had to just describe a large number. Myriads. Myriads of myriads. 10,000 times 10,000. Not having anything to do, if we stop right there, with the last phrase, thousands of thousands on top of that. 10,000 times 10,000, if we do a little bit of math here, comes to 100 million angels. And it may be that he was saying, that's as high as I could count. It's at least 100 million and then 1,000 of thousands on top of that. Angels everywhere. Wow. Angels fill the universe. True. Angels fill the heavens. True. Angels are active on the earth. True. So are angels among us? Yes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says this, do not forget to entertain strangers, to demonstrate hospitality, for by so doing, some have unwittingly, unknowingly entertained angels. How many of you guys have ever had an angel over for dinner? Maybe you don't know. Yeah. Angels are real, and they are among us. Now, I want to share with you this article about a missionary on the field. Reverend John G. Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. According to his testimony, his mission headquarters was surrounded by hostile natives one night. Another article I read about this referred to them as cannibals. They were under attack. They apparently intended to burn the building down to the ground and put John and his wife to death. The Pattons prayed. They turned to God. They prayed for mercy. They asked for God to deliver them. And they prayed throughout the night. And when the first rays of sunlight came the next morning, the Pattons were utterly amazed to see that the natives had left. About a year later, the chief of that tribe, through their missionary efforts, became a believer. And when John Patton asked the chief why the tribe had refrained from burning down the headquarters on that fateful night, the chief surprised Reverend John by inquiring of him, well, who were all of those men that you had with you there? Patton answered and said, there were no men there, just my wife and I. The chief then told Patton that he and his warriors had seen hundreds of men standing guard outside the headquarters that night, all dressed in shining apparel with swords drawn. These guards completely encircled the headquarters, and the tribe dared not attack. It was then that John Patton realized that God had dispatched his angels to guard him and his wife. As Psalm 34:7 tells us, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalm 91, verse 11 says, moreover, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Yes, There are angels among us. I believe that there are hundreds of angels, even in this room at this very moment. And I'll try to substantiate that in just a moment. So there are angels among us, and there may even be a demon or two just looking around. And they might wear a white jacket, stand in the back of the room. I have no idea. Have you ever said something and wished that you could just grab it and put that back? In fact, I'm now thinking about what I'm going to say next week about a guardian angel, and hoping that one of the hundreds of angels that I believe are in this room right now would pull some extra duty because of my statement. Nonetheless, yes, angels are absolutely among us. I want to share with you from 2 Kings chapter 6 in verse 15 through 17 as we see testimony about the angels and how they are around us. You see, there was a situation where Elijah and his servant had been surrounded by a military of the enemy. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and he went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to Elijah, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elijah answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And I imagine the servant thought at that time, "Do you know something that I don't know?" But in fact, he did. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that you would grant him the ability to be able to see that which you have in this situation shown to me. Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he might see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God had indeed sent his angels to deliver them. Angels are around us. Let me say this in summary. Angels exist. You better believe it. They were created by God. They were created to serve and to worship God. There are many angels. They were created before the foundation of the world, and they are created numerously. A heavenly host of at least 100 million, and yes, they are among us. Now, next week, I want to talk to you about some very important facts about angels. Their appearance. Do they have wings or do they not have wings? Are they male or are they female? Are they visible or are they invisible? When they appear, what is that all about? How about their abilities? Are they fast? How fast? Are they powerful? How powerful? Are they eternal beings? What are their abilities? What are their activities as well? And we will discover at least 7 things that angels do in the lives of God's people. We're just getting started in this compelling study of what the Bible has to say about these fascinating, intriguing, and mysterious creatures called angels. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for compelling insight from your word that speaks to us about these beings called angels. And Father, we acknowledge that the scripture and the Savior affirm their reality. And Father, we pray that we would handle the word of truth correctly, that we would be able to understand the truth of angels, what they are, what they're not, who they are, who they're not, and how we should relate to them. So Father, we pray that you would bless not only this message, but the remaining 2 messages about these great beings. Father, we praise you along with the angels today. We praise, we serve, and we worship you, the one true and living God. Bless now, O God, this time of invitation. We entrust it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.